Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, we love finding a really simple way to frame an overwhelmingly complex system. And today, we are peering deep into the architecture of modern communication, but we're using a lens that's entirely human. We're talking about computers that listen and computers that shout. Our mission today is really to synthesize that massive evolutionary jump in communication. I mean, from simple ephemeral sound waves to the instant global electronic signals that define our lives in the 21st century. When you look at all the complex systems connecting us, the networks, the servers, that tiny device in your pocket, it actually helps to think about them in these very human terms. We're contrasting the, you know, the finite limits of our own biology with the boundless reach of technology.
And to really understand the magnitude of that shift, I think we have to start with the human baseline.
Where we came from.
Exactly. Yeah. When you strip away all the innovations, all the tech, human communication basically rests on two systems. The first one is the most basic, speech and hearing.
That's the default human setting, right?
Absolutely. Speech is, by its very nature, ephemeral. If I say something right now and you don't hear it, well, it's just gone forever. It's local. It only works over pretty short distances, you know, limited by my voice and the room we're in. The upside, though, it requires only our basic anatomy. It develops with basically no special training. It's just foundational.
So quick, local, and temporary. We needed something more permanent, something that could go further. And that, I assume, brings us to the second system, writing.
Writing and reading fundamentally changed the game. I mean, this system extended communication over distance and maybe even more crucially, over time.
Time.
Right. Messages became permanent, repeatable, transportable. One of the most fascinating ideas we pulled from the material is this concept that writers are, in essence, communicating with readers who are situated in the future.
Communication through time. It's wild to think about that. You write down a law, a story, a philosophical text. You're basically projecting your voice hundreds, maybe thousands of years forward. It's the ultimate legacy system.
It is. It's how civilizations persist. But, and here's the rub, even with writing, and later, you know, print, which let us make countless identical copies, the speed was still fundamentally limited.
How so?
It was bound by the speed at which that physical object, the paper or the tablet, could be physically transported.
Think about that for a moment. For millennia, the speed of information was literally the speed of a horse or the fastest ship or a runner communicating from Rome to London. You're measuring that in weeks, maybe months. That governed everything. Commerce, politics, war.
And this is where that speed limit, the speed of transport, imposed this profound constraint, both logistically and I think psychologically. You had to really commit to a message knowing the reply might take an eternity. Information traveled at the speed of matter.
Okay, so let's unpack this. If transportation was the ultimate speed limit for almost all of human history, what happens when time and distance aren't just shortened, but effectively annihilated? That's the moment the electrons enter the conversation.
And what's so fascinating here is just how quickly the world shrank once we harnessed electrical signals. The source material points specifically to the telegraph. This machine carried messages across continents and eventually under oceans with what people at the time called unimaginable speed.
We have to pause on that word, unimaginable. For someone in, say, 1840, the idea you could communicate across 3,000 miles in a few seconds would have sounded like magic, or maybe something demonic. Suddenly, the only delay wasn't the journey. It was just the brief moment for a human to encode and decode the message. Tap, tap, tap. The physical barrier of space was just gone.
Precisely. And that revolutionary shift, it leads directly to this concept of the global village.
Right.
The term really captures this new reality that with electronic communication, everyone on the planet can effectively be within earshot of everyone else.
That's a powerful metaphor, within earshot.
It really is, because it connects that local instinctual feeling of human speech, you know, being able to call out and be heard to a global infrastructure. And this applies from the very first telegraphs all the way up to our 21st century satellite-mediated world. That instant collapse of distance, it's foundational to understanding modern life. It forces us to deal with events instantly, no matter where they happen.
So if the telegraph was the first electronic whisper across the ocean, today, we're talking about global shouting, this instantaneous capacity, it's become completely commonplace. Let's focus on the main instrument for this in the 21st century, the smartphone. The data suggests there are something like 2 billion of these devices out there. These are our personal tools for shouting. The scale is just astronomical.
And it's a complex shout, too. It's not just a single, you know, acoustic sound. With these devices, you can compose a message in so many formats, text, an image, audio, a video, and send it instantly.
The power isn't just in the speed. It's the reach and the modality, like you said. You can send that rich message to a few people, or you can blast it out to servers on the World Wide Web. Share it with anyone in the world who can find it. That's why we call it shouting. It's designed for maximum reach with minimal effort.
And we experience this every day, right? Often, without even realizing how truly phenomenal it is when you look at it against the backdrop of human history. Our sources give some great, really specific examples that show just how routine this global shouting has become. Okay, think about watching a big, broadcasted sporting event. You're on the West Coast, your friend is on the East Coast, and you're sending real-time texts, videos, jokes back and forth as the game unfolds. That's shouting across a continent in perfect sync.
Or, what about the professional absurdities we all accept now? A huge team project, and one person needs to update the boss on some system upgrades.
Yeah.
They're in an office in New England, and the boss is in a hotel room in, I don't know, Helsinki, Finland, and they just exclumped video chat.
The physical locations are totally irrelevant. The message is instant and rich with detail. Or in a meeting, you could be in a conference room in Texas talking with people who are simultaneously in New York and California and maybe even Sydney.
Wow.
The time zones are the only real friction left.
And this is where it gets really interesting for me. These mundane, everyday interactions show that our shouting is no longer bound by local acoustics or a printed page or even oceans. We are constantly, tirelessly, and instantly shouting across the entire planet. The world genuinely has become within earshot of every citizen.
And for every shout, there has to be a listener. Which brings us to the second, and I think maybe the more profound, half of this whole analogy.
Exactly. It's easy to focus on the sending, on the shouting, but the listening capacity of these devices is the real game changer. Just think about the sheer volume. Uncountable emails, texts, social media posts, all flying across the internet at any given moment. The typical user might have hundreds of messages meant just for them every single day.
If we had to rely on human listening, I mean, a person sitting there actually monitoring all those channels, they would collapse from exhaustion in a few hours. This is where the device's ability just dramatically surpasses our own limitations. Electronic devices listen with much more precision and with far, far greater patience and energy than any human possibly could.
Precision is a huge point.
Mm.
If I'm in a loud room trying to listen to three different conversations, I'm going to miss details, I'll get distracted, I'll prioritize poorly. A phone doesn't have those problems.
It doesn't, and the mechanics are really sophisticated. Your phone is configured not just to passively receive. It actively listens for specific messages meant for you, and then it notifies you. And crucially, it's contextual. It pays attention to who the sender is, the channel email, text, and app, and the nature of the message itself, and it varies the notification.
Mm-hmm.
A call from your kid might get a loud ring, overriding a simple text from a mailing list.
That detail, varying the notification based on context, that's key. It's not just a dumb receiver. It's an active sorter. It's a prioritizer. We're outsourcing our attention filtering to the machine. But the real game changer, the profound difference, is just the tireless nature of the listening.
Absolutely. The device listens for messages when the human is sound asleep or busy or just completely disconnected from a conversation. The phone never says, you know what, I'm tired. I'll check those tomorrow.
And it listens to many channels at once. When you're asleep, your conscious brain is tuned out, but your phone is wide awake. It's simultaneously monitoring email, text, 5 social media feeds, app notifications. We've achieved simultaneous, multi-channel, tireless listening.
And if you connect this to the bigger picture, this ability to listen without exhaustion, it profoundly changes our relationship with the flow of information. A human listener is finite. An electronic listener is effectively infinite in its capacity for precision and endurance. It guarantees our presence, even in our physical absence.
So we've established the shout instant, global, multimodal, and the listen tireless, precise, and multi-channel. So what? I mean, what does this capacity actually mean in a real-world context? The source material specifically points out how this is leveraged in education.
Education is the perfect application, really, because it traditionally relied so heavily on that localized, ephemeral classroom model. The teacher speaking to the student face-to-face within a set hour, the listening and shouting capabilities just completely transcend that.
So how does it extend the reach of the school?
Well, you see immediate value in collapsing distance and time. First, educators and students can share details of classroom events instantly with the whole school community or with parents. More fundamentally, they can learn about world events just as they're happening, not days later. The classroom becomes globally responsive.
That turns it into a real-time observation post, not just a place where history is discussed after the fact.
Exactly. But maybe the most important application is extending the classroom community beyond the physical limits of the campus itself.
Extending it to who? Like mentors or experts?
Precisely. This technology allows the classroom to include vital resources like mentors, experts, peers, regardless of their physical location or their time zone. A student researching marine biology can communicate in real time or asynchronously with an expert who's actually studying the Great Barrier Reef. The ability to collaborate on projects across the globe becomes instantaneous.
So instead of being limited to the expertise available within, you know, a 5-mile radius of the school, the classroom can tap into the entire World Wide Web. Learning is no longer restricted to a building between certain hours. It transforms education from a finite event into a continuous conversation.
This capacity to collapse distance and time, it completely transforms the traditional structure of learning. We're moving from the finite classroom to the infinite connected learning community.
And that brings us to the end of our deep dive today. We started with the physical limits of the human body, ephemeral speech and written print, communication bound by the speed of transport. And we finished with 21st century devices that are capable of global, instantaneous shouting, complemented by hyper-precise, multi-channel listening that, quite literally, never sleeps. We've gone from the human voice, which required no special training, but was purely local and temporary, to a technological extension of our senses that is global, immediate, and permanent. It's a mind-bending shift, and it happened in less than 2 centuries.
And this raises the final question for you, the listener, to mull over. If human attention and physical presence are inherently finite, you know, we need sleep, we get distracted, we can only monitor so much at once, what are the true implications when technology is configured to possess infinite patience and energy for listening? What happens to our right to be absent or our expectation of silence when the machine never stops paying attention? That's the boundary we're all living on right now.